Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chav Vav. We're getting very close to the end of this Masechta and to the end of Seder Moed, and we begin today's share with the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom on Chof He Omud Beis. The Mishnah continues describing things where we find a stringency that's been applied by the Chazal to Truma but wasn't applied to Kodesh. And the Mishnah begins and tells us, Min HaModiim V'Lifnim, from the town of Modiim, towards Yerushalayim, that's called Vilifnim, means in, between Modim and Yerushalayim, going in from Modim to Yerushalayim, there's certain halachos that were kulas that applied. So for Kachim, they relied upon that area for the barrel makers, the people that were making these earthenware utensils, Nemanin al Klicheres. They would be believed to say that their Klicherises were Tahar. This is only for Kachim. Min ha-modiyim v'lachutz, but for modiyim and outwards, in other words, away from Yerushalayim, ein emanim. Now, there's an obvious question over here. If you're telling me that for modiyim and inwards, they're believed, that implies that modiyim, they're believed as well. But then you tell me for modiyim and outwards, they're not believed, that implies that modiyim, they're not believed. So which one is it? Are they or they are not believed in modiyim as well? So the Mishnah explains and tells us, Ketzad, what's the exact scenario? Hakador, the one who makes these Klicheris is the one who makes these pots or barrels. Shu mocher hakderos, the one who sells them, he makes them and he sells them. Nichnas lifnin min hamodiyin, if he is between Modiyim and Yerushalayim, then in that situation, hu akador, this potter himself, vein hakderos, and all these Klicheris, these utensils, these pots and barrels that he's made, vehein halochin, and also the people that purchase them, neman, all to be believed that they are tahor. Only under these circumstances do we allow these klicherisim to be used as tohar. Rashi reminds us that the city of Modiim is the name of a city, Shem Krach. Rachok Mishalayim Tesvav Mil was 15 kilometers, roughly 15 mil, a mil is roughly a kilometer, as the Gemara in Psochem tells us. Where there they dealt with the halacha, Mimenu Vilifnim, Litzad Yerushalayim, Nemonin Kadorin Amiyaritz, Likach Mim Klicheris Hadakim. It said over there that we trusted these potters that made these klicheris to the small klicheris. We'll see, large klicheris was not believed. Only the small klicheris were believed to say that they were, in fact, tar. And this includes kigon kideros, these various types of pots, kosos, cups, the kitunios, and various other types of jugs. She efshar belohem. They couldn't be managing without them. They needed these for their kachim, and if they didn't allow them, in fact, to go and use them, then there would not be utensils for the kachin. Well, why was there such a problem? Can't they make them in Yerushalayim? So as we learn in the Gemara, and Rashi points out over here, Yerushalayim ain't osin kivshonos, it may ha'oshon. They didn't want a lot of smoke to ruin the houses, blacken everything, so therefore they didn't allow these furnaces to make the klicheris in Yerushalayim. So therefore they needed them nearby, and therefore they believed the Amaratzim who would be making them to say that they were tohar. And as a result, the rabbis typical normal gezeira that would have applied to Amaratzim didn't apply. Minatorah, there's only a slight chance that the Amaratzim made them Tameh, so therefore Minatorah, the din is that they are tar. The rabbis instituted certain stringencies in general regarding the Amaratzim, but they didn't apply them over here to these klicheris makers, the kadorim, because of the essential need for these pots to be around, the small little containers to be around near Yerushalayim. And as Rashi further says, Shein gozum gzera l'tzibu, Shein rov l'tzibu, yichol l'amod ba. If they didn't have these pots available from the Amaratzim, it would have been very difficult. It would have been too difficult to gzera for the tzibu to manage with. Rashi also points out that if they were giving this from this kador to another Amaretz, avalim mosron liyad kador Amaretz, hayoshe modiyim, olifin lo minu. It's only the original kador that's believed, but not if he gives it to a middleman, then the middleman is not believed. So this is the din that the kador, the kderos, and the lochin are all believed, neman. However, yotza, if he's leaving Modiim, in other words, he's going in the other direction, ain't a neman, then he no longer has this believability. The Gemara will discuss this further, and it starts with the following brisa, Tana. Modiim, the city of Modiim, pe'omim kilifnim, pe'omim kilichutz. As we already pointed out, it seems to be sometimes considered like it's in between Modiim and Yerushalayim. In other words, we believe them, even though they're in Modiim. And at other times, it's considered kilichutz, pa'amim kilichutz, and we don't believe them. So again, the Gemara says, Ketzad, under what circumstances do we believe when they're in Modiim, and what circumstances do we not believe them when they're in Modiim? So the Gemara explains as follows. The Braisa says, Kador Yotze, if the Kador is leaving from in between Modin and Yerushalayim, in the area where he would normally be believed, going outward, Yotze, towards Modin, and now he's in Modin. The Chover Nichnas, and the Chover was entering into the city of Modin from outside the area. In other words, he was coming from Tel Aviv, and he reaches Modin, and he now is in the city of Modin, and the Kador had just left from between Yerushalayim and Modin, and he now is in Modin. So in this situation, we believe, because the Chover had no alternative, he couldn't get it earlier, so in this situation, Kilufnim, we say that Modin has the same status as if the Kador was still in between Modin and Yerushalayim, and we believe him. However, Shneim Nichnasim, if both of them are coming from Tel Aviv, they're coming from outside Modin, and now they meet in Modin, and we turn to Chavov and Aleph. Or alternatively, O Shneim Yotzin, both of them are leaving Modin. In other words, they were both inside in the area between Modin and Yerushalayim, and now they left that area, and now they're both in Modin, now Kilechutz. Now we don't believe them, because as Rashi points out, if the Chavah really needed these Kli Charis utensils, so then he should have purchased them while the Kador, the Amoritz pot maker, was in between Modim and Yerushalayim, or in Yerushalayim. He should have purchased them then. For the fact that he didn't rush to go and purchase them means he doesn't need them that badly. If he doesn't need them that badly, then the Gzera that there's Tumas Amoritz upon these utensils does apply. As opposed to, in the first scenario, where the Chavah had no other choice to buy it from him, and in that situation, we say that Modin counts as if it was in between Modin and Yerushalayim. I know this is a little bit confusing. I hope I'm explaining it clearly. But we basically, just to chazer real quickly, it depends on the opportunities. If the Chavah could have gotten it at an earlier point in time, so then we don't let him get it in Modin. But if there was no earlier point in time that he could have gotten it, and this Amoritz Kador just left the inner area and now is in Modin, so then the Chavah is allowed to purchase it from him. It has the halachic status of being tahar. Now, Abaye says, I'll show you that this understanding that we just had is right from the following. Amar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tanita, our Mishnah, if you look at our Mishnah carefully, you can make the deal that this Braisa just did. Why? Because our Mishnah said, HaKador Shemocha Sagaderos, V'nichnas Lefnim Min Amodiyin. Our Mishnah said that the Kador who was selling these Kli Chares, so if he was in between Modiyin and Yerushalayim, he is believed. The reasoning is, Tama de Lefnim Min Hamodiyin. Only because he is in between Modin and Yerushalayim. Implication being, Homodiyim Gufalo Mehem. If he was in Modin, he wouldn't be believed. But then look, Eima Seifa. Mish then said, Yotso, if he left Modin, Eino Neman, only when he's outside Modin, he's not believed. Implication being, Homodiyim Gufalo Mehem. He wouldn't believe in Modin. So you have two implications. From the Reisha, the implication is that Modin is not believed. From the Seifa, the implication is that Modin is believed. So how do you understand that? So Abaye says, oh, that's exactly what the Braisa said. Elolash Mamina. Kan b'kador yotzei v'chover nichnas. Where we believe him, even though he's in Modiyim, to say that his pots are tar, that's talking about where the kador went from the inner area between Modiyim and Yerushalayim, and now is exiting that area, going to Modiyim, and the chover is coming in from the outside and enters Modiyim. The chover had no chance to get it, and if he doesn't get it now, this would be the last opportunity. So here, in this situation, we say that it's tar. However, in the scenario where we said that Modin does not count like it was in between Modin and Yerushalayim, but it's like it was outside Kilechutz, that's talking about Kan b'shishneim Yotzin. They're both leaving the area. So again, if the Talmud Chacham really wanted it, he should have purchased it when it was in the inner area. He shouldn't have waited till both of them are back in the city of Modin. Or Oshishneim Nichnasim, if they're both going into Modin from the outside, so then wait till he goes inside further, in between Modin and Yerushalayim, in order to purchase it. So therefore, Shema Mina, that's a good raya. Abaye's diuk from a Mishnah is exactly the way the Braisa learned it. Tano, we learned in another Braisa, Nemonin b'chli cheres hadakin lakodesh. The only time we believe this kador, the only time we believe the Amoritz, is for small utensils, as Rashi brought down, these small little pots or cups or jugs, because they're needed for kachim. So therefore, they're believed only in regards to chli cheres hadakin, and only in regards to kodesh, not in regards to the larger types of Kli Cheres, and not in regards to Truma. Even the small ones aren't believed in regards to Truma. Now, Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, "Bu shenitolim biyodo achas." How do you define whether something is considered a large Kli Cheres or a Kli Cheres adakin? So Reish Lakish says, if you can carry it in one hand, it's considered small. If you need two hands to carry it, it's considered large. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He's a little bit more lenient, and he says sometimes afilu she'eni tam yarachas is still considered a small kli cheres, smaller than the very large ones. So the very large ones, that's a separate category that the Am Haaretz is not believed on. Albeit we'll see in Yerushalayim itself they all believed, but Rabbi Yochanan says if it's a little bit larger that you need two hands to use it, and certainly if you only need one hand to use it, then it's still considered a kli cheres hadakin, and this belief of the Am Haaretz is applicable in this situation to say that they're tar. That's the first machlokes in Reish Lakish of Yochanan. Another machlokes in Reish Lakish of Yochanan in this regard is Amar Reish Lakish Lo Shana Wela Rekanim. Reish Lakish said that we only believe the Kadar if the barrels are empty, or certainly if they have kachim inside of them. But he says, Abo Malayin, Rashi points out Malayin means over here, Mashkin Shalosh She'eno Shel Hektish. Rashi says that this is talking about where they're filled up with something that's not Hektish, then they're not believed according to Reish Lakish. And the pots, as well as the fluids inside, are considered Tami. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan, again, he's Mumekel over here. Rav Yochanan says, Rav Yochanan Amar, Afilu Malayim, even if the Kli Cheretz over here are filled with Mashkin that aren't Kachin, nevertheless, they're considered tahar, as long as it fits the criteria that we said, that they're, quote, small. The definition of Yochanan is small, again, that they even could be carried with two hands, but they're not that large. And in addition, that it's between Modi'in and Yerushalayim. As long as those other conditions are met, so then, Rav Yochanan says, even if this Kli Cheres is filled with Mashkin, She'ena Shel Kodesh, that would be fine. They still believe that the Kalim are tahar. And furthermore, afilu afir kususo lusocho, even if the beged, afir kususo is the garment, the beged of the Am Haaretz, which is by definition medrus lekodesh. So even though that beged is tummy and it went inside the klicheres, so it definitely is matame, anything inside the klicheres, nevertheless, it is still tar. Now, this is a big kula. But Amar Rava, Rava said, umod Rabbi Yochanan, the mashkin atzmon chain flame. In this situation, though, the mashkin that are inside, they're not going to be tar. Albeit, the keli is tar, but the mashkin inside are not going to be tar. They're tameh. And don't think that this is strange, that the mashkin are tameh, but the keli is tar. Al tisma, don't be surprised at that, because we already had this. We had this in yesterday's, we had this a few days ago. Shari login, molly mashkin. Remember we had the case where you had the ground floor that had tumas meis in it. There was a skylight, and on the second floor, if there wasn't anything blocking the skylight, then the tumah would rise from the ground floor, go up through the skylight, and spread out underneath the roof of the second floor, and be matami everything over there with tumas meis. But if you put a kli cheres there, so the kli cheres would block it. So therefore, don't be surprised that in this situation, we said that if you put a kli cheres in between the ground floor and the top floor, so then Hari Logan, Molly Mashkin, if you had jugs in the second floor that were filled with liquids, so in that situation, Logan, Tumei and Tumas Shiva. The containers are actually going to be Tumei, Tumas Meis. It doesn't block, the Tumah is not blocked in regards to the Logan. However, Umashkin Torah, but the Mashkin we said inside, Oklu and Mashkin that were inside them, or if there were Kli Harrison, so then we had said, we had this earlier on Daf Chav Beis, where we brought down the seeming paradox that the drugs themselves could be tameh, but the fluids inside them, or ochlin or mashkin, are tahorin. So therefore, don't be surprised. Sometimes there are these strange quirks of dinim over here, and that would be the case over here as well. Okay, next Mishnah. Hagabayim sheniknesu l'toch habayis. Rashi understands this is talking about another case where there's a stringency by truma that we don't find by kachin. So here you have Gabayim. The Gabayim, Rashi says, are Jews, Yisrael, that are functioning as tax collectors for the king. Shein Gabayim lemelech nochri. They're functioning as tax collectors for the Goyisha king. Gavos miyad Yisrael, gulgolios, head taxes, umasin, irregular taxes, bernunios, and various types of property taxes. So the Jewish Gabayim over here are amaratzim, and they are allowed to enter in your house to go and collect the taxes on behalf of the Goyisha king. So in this situation, Hagaboyim Shenichnesu L'toch Habayis, or in a similar situation, V'chein Haganovim, if a thief, Nebuch, comes into your house and steals some of your kelim, but then he returns them. He does tshuva. Shechziru es hakelim, and in this situation, Ne'emonim Lomar Lo Noganu. Both the Gabayim as well as the Ganovim are believed to say, we did not touch such and such a keli. Now, this is a special critical kula that we have over here only in regards to kachim, but we don't have this in regards to Truma. At least that's the way Rashi understands it. Tosafot seems to understand that this is a Kula as well for Truma. But the simple understanding is like Rashi, and Rashi bases this upon a Tosefta. He says, Ubehedya Shaninu B'Tosefta, we have it specifically stated in a Tosefta, Perigimel over here, Hagabayim Shenichlisu L'Soch HaBayis, if you have these tax collectors, Jewish Amoratzim tax collectors working on behalf of the Goyish king, they come into your house to go and collect the taxes. They're believed to say, Nemonim Altaris Chatas. They're believed to say that your Kachim, this Chatas doesn't mean the Mei Chatas, the Paraduma, it means your Kachim. Your Chatas means your Kachim, Veinanam Altaris Truma. And it says, Beferish, that they're not believed in regards to Truma. And this, Rashi says, V'hai Chatas, Boser Kodesh. It's talking about Kachim. Below Efer Chatas, not the Paraduma. Kidmuch HaChasam, as it's proven over there in that Tosefta. So the bottom line is, the simple understanding of Rashi, this is another scenario where Truma is stricter than Kachim. And the cases are either the Gabayim or the thieves. They're believed to say they didn't touch anything only in regards to Kachim, but they're not believed to say they didn't touch anything in regards to Truma, and any Kalim in that house would have to be presumed to be Tomei, and you couldn't put Truma inside of them. That's case number one. Case number two, Ubi Yerushalayim Ne'monim Al HaKodesh. In Yerushalayim, the Amoratzim are trusted. They believe to say that the utensils are tahor, and the Gemara will explain this is talking about the large utensils, because in between Modin and Yerushalayim, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish agreed, everybody agreed that they're believed for the small utensils, but not for the large utensils. But in Yerushalayim itself, the Mishnah is telling us even they're believed for the large utensils. But again, this is only for Kodesh, and it's not for Truma. Oh, another example where Truma is stricter. And finally, Ubishas HaRegel, during the Shlosh Regalim, then the Amoratzim are believed even af ala Truma. Then they're believed in regards to Truma as well. And the Gemara will discuss this further. But let's start with the Gemara right now. Our Mishnah taught us that we believe the Gabayim or the Ganavim to say that they didn't touch the other utensils that are in the house. At least for Kodesh, we believe them. However, the Gemara says, Urmini, we have a Mishnah in Taharos which tells us otherwise, or seemingly tells us otherwise. And it says over there, Hagabayim, these tax collectors, these Jewish Amoratzim tax collectors, Shenichnesu l'toch habayis, habayis kulo tameh, everything in the house is tameh. So how can you tell me, in our Mishnah, that we believe in, but they say they didn't touch something, the Mishnah in Taharos says that no, everything that they touched, or even if they didn't touch it, if it was in the house, is tameh. So Gemara says, Lo kasha. There's no steer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Taurus because they're talking about two different things. This Mishnah and Taurus is saying that there was a guy with them. And therefore, as we'll see, there's the Ema of the Nochri Aleihem, Emas Nochri Aleihem, which we'll understand in a moment. And therefore, in Taurus, it's stricter and the Habai is Kulo Tomei. Every utensil in the house is Tomei. However, our Mishnah had a lack of Nochri Badayu. In our Mishnah, there was no Nochri, no non-Jewish person with them. And therefore, they believed these Ama Aretz, tax collector is believed to say that he touched those are tameh, but these he didn't touch and those are tar, at least in regards to Kodesh. And where do we see this from? Because the Mishnah in Taharos says that not im yeshrach nachri imahem nemonim lomar lo nichnasu avol ein nemonim lomar nichnasnu avol lo naganu. If there was a non-Jewish person with them, so they are believed to say we didn't enter this house. But they're not believed to say we entered the house but didn't touch something. Once they enter the house, because the Nochri is there, so then we have to presume that they touched everything. Albeit, they are believed to say that we didn't enter the house at all. Gemara says, why does it make a difference if there's a Nochri with them? Why does that change the din around? So Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, each of them gives a reason. One of them says, Chad Omar, Emas Nochri Aleihem. The fear of the Nochri is upon them. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Pen yanishem baguf obimamon. If the Nochri thinks you're not doing a good job looking for the taxes, right? You're there to go collect the taxes. And if you'd walk out of that house without the taxes, the Nochri would be very upset. And he would tell you, I'm going to punish you. I'll either give you a zetz, yanishem baguf, I'll punish you physically, obimamon, or I'll penalize you financially. So therefore, if there's a Nochri there, the Yid, the tax collector, Gabbai, Amo Aretz, is going to go and check very, very carefully. And therefore, we don't believe him when he says he didn't touch something. We have to presume Habai is Kulo Tomei, because he's trying to impress the guy that he's with there, that he's doing a thorough job. However, if there's no guy over there, so then he's believed to say, I didn't go touch that. I looked over here, I didn't look over there. That's teretz number one, Emas Nochri Aleihem. Teretz number two, we don't know whether it was Yochanan or Reuven that said this. Teretz number two is, Amar Emas Malchus Aleihem. He's afraid the guy is going to go and tell the king, you don't have a good tax collector, you better fire him and get somebody else, or you better do something to him in order to get him to be a better tax collector. So therefore, it's Emas HaMelech. No, they sound both the same. Emas Nochri, Emas HaMelech, Bai Binayi. What's the difference between these two reasonings? So the Gemara says, Ika Binayi, there's a difference. Nochri Shein HaChoshev. The Nochri is not a Choshev guy. In other words, from the Nochri himself, there is no Emas Nochri. He's a little nothing. I'm not afraid of him. He can't beat me up. He can't financially penalize me. I have no fear of this Nochri. Ah, so if the reasoning is Emas Nochri, so then if there's no fear of the Nochri, so then the din doesn't apply. But if you say Emas Malchus, so then even an unimportant Nochri could go run to tell the king. The king will listen to him, and therefore, in this situation, you would have to be concerned. So that's the difference in Nafkamina between the two reasoning, Emas Nochri versus Emas Malchus. Okay. Mark continues by quoting the Mishnah. Likewise, if the Ganavim stole something and then they returned it, they believe to say, these are the only utensils we touched. We didn't touch the other utensils in regards to Kachin. More again, contrast this with the following Mishnah, Urmini. It says also in Taharos, Haganovim Shenichlisu L'toch HaBayis, Einotom Yelam Makom Drisas Ragli Haganovim. In the situation where the Ganovim come inside, any place that they walked, that's where you have to presume they touched everything. In the other places, you don't have to presume that they touched anything. Now, clearly, they're not believed to say, I didn't touch something. If they walked there, they're not believed to say they didn't touch something. But our Mishnah says, they're believed to say they didn't touch something. So there seems to be a steer between, again, our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Taros, just like by the Gabayim. So Amar Pinchos Mishmeh, now the gear that we have is the Rav, but it really should be the Rava. That's what the Masorah Sashah says. In any event, what's his Teretz? Kisha Asu Tshuva. We're dealing here with this thief had a Hirhurim of Tshuva, and he's returning the lost item. So therefore, he has now done Tshuva, so therefore he is believed. So our Mishnah is talking about what we're dealing with, Eloch Ganavim. The Ganavim were repentant, and they had now done tshuva, so therefore we believe them. As opposed to the Mishnah and Taurus, they hadn't done tshuva, so therefore, wherever they walked, we have to presume that they touched something. We don't believe them to say they didn't touch something. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Daikonami, because you look at it carefully at the Lashon of Amishnah. Amishnah said, Diktani, Shechziru, Esa Kalim. We're talking about Ganavim, they returned the Kalim. In other words, they did tshuva, and therefore that's why they believed in our Mishnah, but in Taharos, they didn't return them, they didn't do tshuva, and therefore they're not believed that wherever they walked, there's presumed to have made things tummy. Shema minah. This is a good diuk. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah. Ubi Yerushalayim, Nemonim ala Kodesh. In Yerushalayim itself, they believed about the Kodesh. What exactly we're talking about? I explained this before. Here's where we got it from. Tana, Nemonim al Klicheres, Gasim la Kodesh. Here they believed even on the large Klicheres, the ones that, according to Reish Lakish, we'd said the Kli Dakin, where you could hold them with one hand, so here would be you needed two hands to hold them. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan said that even some of the Dakin you could use two hands, so this would be much, much larger than that, that you really have a clear understanding that these are large. So whatever the definition is, these are large, they're not believed outside of Yerushalayim, but they're believed inside Yerushalayim. Because at this point, you're desperate. If you don't have these utensils, you really can't function, so therefore, in Yerushalayim, they're believed. The Gemara says, how come we're so lenient over here in these large earthenware vessels to allow the Amorites to be believed in the city of Yerushalayim, and we allow the Dakin to believe from Modi'in until Yerushalayim? Why? So the Gemara tells us what I pointed out before, Shein Osin Kivshonus Yerushalayim, because we don't want to have the smoke come and blacken up all the walls and make everything very aesthetically displeasing. So therefore, they didn't allow any of these large furnaces in Yerushalayim, and therefore, the potters had to make them all outside Yerushalayim, and therefore there was a scarcity of both the small and large pots. They didn't need so many of the large pots, that's why we only believed them in Yerushalayim. But the small pots, they needed a lot of them, so therefore we extended the area, we believed them all the way out to Modi'in. Finally, the Mishnah is quoted again, U'bishas ha-regel afala truma. We said during the actual Shlosh Regalim, so normally they only believed the Kadorim about the pots in regards to Kodesh, but during the Shlosh Regalim, we believe them even in regards to truma. Minani Mili, where do we know this from? So I'm a Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells us the Omar Krav, we have the famous pasuk from the Pilegish Begiva, those that are doing the Nach Yomi, who recognize this Perek towards the end of Shoft, the Perek Chav, where it tells us that by Yosef, Kol Ish Yisrael Eloir Ki Ish Echad Chavirim. The all Kais all gathered, and they gathered Ki Ish Echad Chavirim. They all gathered like one Chavirim. What does that mean? Kosum Asim Kulun Chaverim, made all of them, whether Amaratzim or Chaverim, into Chaverim. So therefore we see that this is possible to be done. So during the Shlosh Regalim, we treat them all as if they are the default position, which is Midaraisa. They're not Metame. It's only Din Derabbanan that the Metame, both Kochim and Truma, but Trumas Ama Aretz, and therefore during certain times of the year, such as the Shlosh Regalim, they didn't have this additional rabbinical stringency apply in regards to Truma by the Shlosh Regalim, and in regards to Kachim, it didn't apply for the pots throughout the entire year, as long as they were dealing with Kachim. Now we'll go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, HaPoseach es Chaviso, if somebody during the Shlosh Regalim opens up a barrel of wine, or Bahamaskal, or alternatively, Beisoso, he opens up a brand new batch of dough, Agav HaRegel, and he does this during the Regel, and now he has left over. He had opened it up in order to be able to sell it during the Regel, but he's going to suffer a great financial loss if he's not allowed to continue selling it after the Regel. Now, after the Regel, we have to assume that it became Tomei when all the Amoratsim touched it during the Regel. So therefore, how are we allowed to go and sell this afterwards? No, we allow him to finish selling that barrel. Otherwise, he won't open the barrels in the future. So therefore, Hetiru Sofon Mishum Tchilasan. If we don't let him go and sell the rest of this dough in this batch, or the rest of the wine in this barrel, he's not going to open it up. So therefore, there won't be enough wine, there won't be enough dough on the Yontif, on the Shlosh Regalim. So therefore, the rabbi said, since we took away our rabbinical stringency about Tumas Ama Aretz, so we took it away, so it still stays away, even after the Yontif is over, until that barrel, or until that dough is all gone. The Chacham disagree. The Chachamim lo yigbar. No, the Chacham say, you're not allowed to go and finish selling off that barrel, that dough. We'll see in a moment in the Gemara, what is the Chacham's opinion, what you should do with this leftover started barrel and dough. Now let's understand this further with the following Gemara. Yosef Ravami, Rav Yitzchak Nacha. Ravami and Rav Yitzchak Nacha were both sitting akilo by the porch of Rav Yitzchak Nacha at Rav Yitzchak Nacha's house, and they're sitting and learning. Pasach Chaviyama. One of them said, "We don't know which one said it." Ma'ush Anichena LeRegel Acher. According to the Chachamim, that said that you're not allowed to go finish selling it now. So you have a half a barrel of wine, you have a half a batch of dough. So what are you supposed to do with it? You're going to take a financial loss. But Yehuda was right. You're not going to want to do this next time. So according to the Chachamim, we ask, would the Chachamim allow you to leave it over till the next Regel? Oh, during the Regel, it's always considered Tahar. So let's say you didn't use it up during Pesach, so now wait till Shavuos and use it during Shavuos, no problem. Is that allowed or is that not allowed? That's what one of them, either Rav Ami or Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, asked to the other one. The other one said, let's figure it out ourselves. Yad HaKol Mimash Mishimba. Every Amoritz is touching this barrel of wine and this dough during the Regel. So Yad HaKol Mimash Mishimba, V'at Amis Yanichena L'Regel Acher, and you're going to say, let's leave it to the next Regel and suddenly declare it Tahar? But the one who asked the question, Amalei, said, why not? Atu Ad Ha'idna Lab Yad HaKol Mimash Mishimba, and during the Regel, everybody wasn't touching it? And nevertheless, we said, we're not goes there, Tumas Amoritz during the Regel. So what's the big deal? We're not goes to this, so it can save it for the next Regel. Amalei, but the other one said, Hachi Hashta, are the two the same? No, they're not exactly the same. Bishlomo Ado in the during the Regel, we had no choice. Tumas Amoritz per Regel, Rachbona Tahara. The Torah told us that there is no Tumas Amoritz during the Regel, and therefore, that's why during the Regel, we're not concerned that they touched it. We'll see in a moment what it means that the Torah told us that there's no Tumas Amoritz during the Regel. Elahashto Tumei, but no, the bottom line is, after the Regel, that Tumah comes back, and that Tumah is there, and therefore, you can't go and sell it like Rav Yehuda wanted to, and you can't even keep it till the next Yontif, like the question was raised over here, can you do that? The answer is no. So now let us say, Neimot Kitanoi. Let us say that this machlokas between these two, Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, as to what the Shita of the Chachamim is actually also machlokas Tanoi. Where is that? The Tani Chodo, we learned in one Braisa, Yanichena L'Regel Acher. B'Tanya Ido, Lo Yanichena L'Regel Acher. So we have one brayza that says, the first one, leave it till the next regal. Oh, that sounds like the opinion that says, it's okay to leave it till the next regal. That's what the Chacham hold. But then we have another brayza, the Tanya Yidr said, Lo Yanichena L'Regel Acher, you're not allowed to leave it till the next regal. That sounds like the opinion that says, you're not allowed to leave it till the next regal. My Lav Tanoi, this machlokas between Rev Ami and Rev Yitzchak Nafcha seems to parallel the earlier machlokas amongst these two brayzas, amongst these two Tanoim. Where it says, not necessarily so. Lo. Why? Because ha diktoni yanichena, the brayza that says leave it for the next regel, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's not the Chachamim. And the brayza that said ha diktoni lo yanichena, you're not allowed to leave it till the next regel. Oh, that's the Rabbanan. So this is the machlokas that parallels our Mishnah, machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But it certainly can't say that there's a machlokas in the opinion of the Chachamim. Maybe the Chachamim hold that you're not allowed to use it for the next regal. There is no such opinion, like either Avami or Yitzhak Nacha said, or like we wanted to suggest, Nemo Ketanoi. Moore says that's not right. The Tisbra, you really think so? You think that this Braisa is Rav Yehuda, the first one, where it says, Yanechena L'regel Acher? That's not what Rav Yehuda said. Rav Yehuda Yigmar Kamar. Rav Yehuda said you're allowed to finish selling it right now. You don't have to leave it to the next regal. So that Braisa can't be going according to Rav Yehuda. He would allow you to eat it right now. So therefore, we have to totally reverse around how we understood these two braises. And listen to this. That braise, Eloha Diktoni Lo Yanichenen, the second braise that it said, you're not allowed to leave it to the next regal, doesn't mean you're not allowed to leave it to the next regal. It means you don't have to leave it to the next regal. Ha Diktoni Lo Yanichenen, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you don't have to leave it to the next regal because you're allowed to go and eat it right now. Ha Diktoni Yanichenen, that which braise, the first braise that said, leave it till the next regal, that's in fact the opinion of the Chachamim. When it says according to Rabbi Yehuda, lo yanichena, it means like I just said, she'ein tzarich la'anicha, you don't have to go and leave it. According to this, we've answered the question that either Ravami is to Yitzhak Nacha, or Yitzhak Nacha is to Ravami. According to the Chachamim, if you're not allowed to be gomer it right now, like Rabbi Yehuda says, can you leave it to the next regal? So the answer seemingly from the Gemara is yes, you can. That's based upon this new understanding of these two prices. Not all the Rishonim agree with this, but that's the simple understanding of our Gemara. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Misha Avar HaRegel, after the Regel is over, so what do we have to do? Ma'avirin Altara Sazora. We have to go and take out all of the Kalim that the Amoratzim touched during the Regel. As Rashi says, Ma'avirin Es HaKalim Mimekomam. You take out all the utensils from the Beis HaMikdash from their places, Latvilon, and you have to go and immerse them in the Mikvah. And we have to be metar everything that could accept tumah from the Beis HaMikdash because the Amoratzim touched it during the regal. The rabbi said, you don't have to be concerned about that. Even though the Torah says we're allowed to go and view them as if they were chaverim, and therefore they're not matami everything. So the answer is no, they are matami everything, we just don't concern ourselves with during the regal. Lomim Nation Tahor, not because they're really Tahor. However, it's because we're saying that we don't have to worry about it. But the minute the regal is over, then we have to worry about it again. And la'achar regal magon tome limafreya. Their touch made it all retroactively now tome. And we have to be ma'virin. We have to go and remove all of the utensils and put them into a mikvah. Now, over her regal yom hashishi, if in fact the yontif ends on Thursday, so then on Friday, the preparations for Shabbos need to be done, and they're not going to have time to go and immerse all the kalim in a mikvah. So then, in that situation, lo hayu ma'avirin mipnei kavod Shabbos, since they were busy taking care of Shabbos needs, so they would go and immerse all the utensils in the mikvah on Sunday after Shabbos is over. The rabbis would go to that this heter of the tumah of the amaratzim during the regal extended to the Sunday after the regal, only when the regal ended on a Thursday and you only had Friday. And Rav Yehuda adds, Rav Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda Omer, Aflo Biyom Chamishi, even if the regal ended on a Wednesday. So then Thursday you'd be so busy removing all of the ashes from the top of the Mizbeach. There was a beautiful tapuach up there, 300 saw worth of ashes. It's an exaggeration, but it means there were so many karbanos brought during the Yontif. Now the Kohanim would have to do the Trumas Hadeshen to remove all of that ash. So they're very, very busy on Thursday. Then they were very busy on Friday, L'Kovet Shabbos. And therefore, they didn't have time to go and be Matar all the utensils. Shehena Kohanim Pinuyin, they weren't free on either Thursday or Friday. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, if the regal ended on a Wednesday, so then they would also leave the Mavirinus HaTaris HaZara until Sunday. They wouldn't take out the utensils until Sunday. Mora says, Tana, we learned in the following Braisa, Shehena Kohanim Pinuyin Melotzi Hadesh. And the Braisa says, the explanation that I gave you in the Mishnah, why Rav Yehuda gave them an extra day if it was, the regal was over on a Wednesday, because on Thursday they were so busy doing the Trumas Hadesh, a huge pile of ashes that was a beautiful cupboard for the Mizbeach, for all the Korbanos that were brought during Yontif, but it had to be cleared off. So therefore they did that on Thursday, and therefore Friday they were preparing for Shabbos, and therefore they only did the utensil Tara process on Sunday. Now we go to the next Mishnah. This is the very last Mishnah in Chagiga and in all of Seder Moed. And the Mishnah begins, Ketzer Ma'avir Altara Sazara. How do they actually do this toveling of all of the utensils in the Azara after the regal when the Amoratzim touched it retroactively, it became Tomei. So now we have to be Matar everything. How do they actually do this? So the Mishnah tells us, "Matbilin asakelim shel b'mikdash." They would take out all the utensils that were in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would go and immerse them in a kosher mikvah. But Omrim Lehem, he's Aru, but they also told the Amoratsim during the Yontif, be very, very careful, and we turn to Chavav Omid Beis, be very, very careful, Shalotigu b'shulchan, don't touch the Shulchan, because the Shulchan had a problem, we'll explain why in the Gemara, that you couldn't go and immerse the Shulchan. And therefore, they told the Amoratsim, don't touch the Shulchan, because then we're going to be stuck, because you can't go and take the Shulchan away from the Beis HaMikdash and go and immerse it in a mikvah. And therefore, they told the Amoratsim, don't touch it. Again, the Gemara will explain why. Then the Mishnah tells us, all the utensils that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a second set, a third set, they were ready to use in case the first set or the second set became Tamei. As the Mishnah says, she'im nitnu arishonim, in case the first one or even the second one became tamei, yivu shniim tachteim, they would have a replacement set ready to take over. However, there were two exceptions to this. Kala kelim shiru b'mikdash tunim tefila. All the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash required tefila. However, with the exception of chutz, the mizbeach hazav, with the inner mizbeach, it's called the mizbeach hazav, it was made out of gold, and that was the mizbeach that they put the ketores on every day, in the morning and the evening, and that was where they would also sprinkle the blood of certain korbanos for the chatos hapnimios. For example, the par and the sar of Yom Kippur. So their blood was sprinkled on this inner mizbeach. We never actually had basar put on the inner mizbeach. The inner mizbeach is the mizbeach hazav. It only had the ketores on it every day. And on rare, rare occasions, it had the blood from the chatos hapnimios, like the Yom Kippur of par and sar. In any event, so the mizbeach hazav couldn't be immersed, and the mizbeach hanachoshes, what's called the kapha mizbeach, that's the adam mizbeach, that was the workhorse mizbeach where all the korbanos were put on. So these two mizbechot did not require immersion in a mikvah. Why? Bipnei shehein kikarka. Because the Tanakhama says, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer says that they had the status of being the ground, and the ground can't become tamei. On the other hand, v'chachamim omrim mipnei shehein mitzupin, because they had a plating on them. The mizbeach itself, the outer mizbeach, for example, was made out of stone, and then it had a plating on it, and the chachamim said, that's why it's different. Mipnei shehein mitzupin, that's why it doesn't require immersion in the mikvah. Now, the two ways to understand the chachamim, mitzvah shem, when we get to the Gemara, will find out the two ways to understand the Chachamim. But right now we'll jump into the first part of the Gemara, which says, Tana. We learned in the following Braisa that the Kohanim told the Amoratsim Kohanim, Hizaru Shemotigo b'shulchan u'b'menorah. Be very, very careful that you don't touch the Shulchan and that you don't touch the Menorah. As we pointed out above, they shouldn't touch the Shulchan because the Shulchan couldn't be taken out, which in a moment we'll explain why not. And that our Tana of our Mishnah agrees with this Braisa, but the Braisa also says, don't touch the Menorah. They told the Amoratsim, and you couldn't take the menorah out according to the Braisa. And the Gemara asked the obvious question, the Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah, my time, Lotani menorah. He only mentioned the Shulchan. Why doesn't the Tana of our Mishnah also mention the menorah? What's the difference between the Tana of our Mishnah saying you can't touch the Shulchan, but if you want to touch the menorah, you can, because we'll be metar the menorah, whereas the Tana of the Braisa says to the Amoratsim, don't touch either the Shulchan or the menorah. So the Gemara says, Shulchan, by the Shulchan, everybody agrees that you can't take the Shulchan out of the Beis HaMikdash because the Pasuk says, Shulchan Kesiv Beit Tomin. The Pasuk tells us that it has to be constantly over there. As the Pasuk says, V'nasato ala Shulchan Lechem Panim Lefonai Tomin. It always has to be there. The Lechem Panim always has to be on the Shulchan. So therefore, the Shulchan can never be taken out. Therefore, they warn, both according to the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa, they warn the Amoratsim, don't touch it so it doesn't become Tomin. Oh. So everybody agrees about the Shulchan, but why does the Braisa say the menorah also can't become Tamei? The Idach, why? Kiva Dersiv, yes, HaMenorah, Nochach HaShulchan, because the Braisa says that the menorah has to be opposite the Shulchan, so since the Shulchan always has to be there, it's as if we also said by the menorah, Kiman Dersiv Bo Tomid Domi. It's as if we also said by the menorah, because the menorah has to be opposite the Shulchan, if the Shulchan always has to be there, then the menorah also has to always be there. That's what the Tana of the Braisa says. No, why doesn't the Tana of our Mishnah learn it like that? Vidach, the Tana of our Mishnah says, no, that din of the menorah having to be Nochach HaShulchan is just to tell us the location of it. That's telling us where is the normal location of the menorah. It is opposite the Shulchan. The Shulchan's on the northern side, and the menorah is on the southern side. So that teaches us this din. Bottom line is, both the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa say that the Shulchan shouldn't become Tomei. Be careful, Amoratsim Kohanim, that you don't go and touch the Shulchan, because It would be a real problem if we were to go and try to be tovelit, because it must be inside tamid at all times. Now, this is a good point for us to conclude today's shir, because tomorrow's daf is very short, and we'll finish off the mesechta and the entire Seder Moed tomorrow, but let's just put ourselves set up for tomorrow. Right now, we're working with the understanding that the shulchan could become tamid. In tomorrow's shir, we're going to say the shulchan can't become tamid for a number of different reasons, so why are we concerned about the amaratzim touching it? It's Hashem. We'll pick this up tomorrow. That concludes today's shir.